We might read one verse from the Bible, one verse from the 5th chapter of the 2nd letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, please. The 5th chapter of the 2nd epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church, and verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savour of death, and one we are a savour of death unto death, and to the other a savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And who is sufficient for these things? I read a verse in the 2nd chapter, but I want to read another verse in the 5th chapter, please. Chapter 5, getting the cart before the horse a little bit. Chapter 5, please, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, that though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. May the Lord bless to us the portions that we have read together. Now our brother has given us something to think about right in the very beginning of our conference. He has given us some of the pillars of the church. He has given us some of the bulwarks that you've been listening to, and the apostle says they were to be committed unto faithful men. That is, men that God could trust to bring these truths before the church of God. And I trust that you have been hearing about these different bulwarks, that it may not be a matter of just hearing about the different pillars and the truths that we are to hold dear to our hearts, but I do trust that you will put them in practice after this conference is over. Now in Psalm 50 we are told, together, my people together, saith the Lord. Now that is one of the truths that you and I are responsible before God to do, that is to gather the saints of God together, not to scatter them. And we are to gather them together unto Him. For unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. Now there's only one center of gathering, and we are told it's unto Him. Now we are to gather the people of God together unto Him. For unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. Now I have read to you a very, very pleasant verse that you can carry out of this conference with you. I may not get to the first two that I've read, but it makes very little difference. But the verse that I want to leave this morning before you is this last one I read. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Strange as it might be, you will hear different ones say, well, who are you? I heard it even yesterday when I was visiting with my good brother, Milo. What is your belief? What church do you belong to? And people today expect an answer. And if somebody came to my door, I would expect an answer. I'm not going just to let everybody come in and tell me that they're ambassadors for Christ. We are living in a world, my friend, when things are upside down. And when you look at the person at the door, and they say, well, who are you anyway? What is your belief? And what church do you belong to? You should have an answer. Because the Bible says that we are to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within us with fear and trembling. And when you say to those people that you don't belong to anything, then I begin to wonder if you're really and truly born again. Because a person that don't know the road he's on, and a person that don't know the gathering center, to me, he's a person that's lost. And a person that's lost needs a Savior. And if you are saved by the grace of God, you should know who you belong to and who you're gathered to, as God's people are not. That is, we're not at liberty just to go where we please. Oh, you say, I thought, well, you could just do as you please. Some people. But even the Lord Jesus didn't say that. The Lord Jesus, he made it very, very plain that he pleased the Father not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And when you hear Christians talking about doing as they please, then you can also know, and you can put a big question mark, there is also something wrong. Our business in this old world is to please the Lord. And if our lives are pleasing to the Lord, I believe with all my heart that we will also be pleasing one to another. Or they may not like us. But nevertheless, my friends, they will admire us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now you say, well, what is an ambassador for Christ? Well, the Bible says that you are an ambassador for Christ if you're saved. Now, you might hope to be an ambassador. And you might say, well, I would like to be an ambassador. And you might say, well, there is something worthwhile in being an ambassador for a heavenly country. On the rest. But if you ever stop to think that the Bible says, now then you are, not hope to be, not even think you are, but now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Now an ambassador, you know what an ambassador is better than I do. When I think of an ambassador, there's one thing that I do know, that you don't choose to be an ambassador. The head of your country, he appoints the ambassador, and he sends them forth to represent this country. In a foreign land. When I read in the 15th chapter of John, I read these words. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You say, well, you're not ordained. You don't believe in ordination. I definitely do. The only thing, Brother Miller, I don't have a collar by one. But I definitely believe in ordination because the Bible teaches it. He says you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Now the head of the country is the one that chooses the ambassador. And our head is the one that has chosen his ambassador. When we go into the 17th chapter of the book of John, that is the prayer of the Lord. That is the Lord's prayer. And when we go into that chapter, we find these words that he has taken us out of the world. And he has sent us back into the world. That we might be ambassadors in the world. That we might represent Christ in the world. That's our business. We're not of the world, but we're in the world that we might represent a new country. We are not representing this old world here. An ambassador is not mixed up in the political affairs. We are representing a heavenly country. And that's my hope. Heaven starts here upon this earth. Now when you look at the ambassadorship, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Looking at it from that standpoint before saying any more, what right would I have to say? I don't belong to it. Seeing I'm representing a heavenly country. My, you and I should be very, very careful what we say and what we do. We are heavenly representatives, ambassadors for Christ. The ambassador, he goes out into another country, and as he goes into that country, you can hear the old jet plane coming right into that country. The pilot is steering right to that airport, and you can see the many people that are standing watching for that plane to light. I wonder what they want to see. I wonder what they're looking for. I wonder what they're interested in. They're interested in the ambassador of the United States. And I see someone coming down the gangplank and say, that's not him. That's not him. I see someone else coming down the gangplank. That's not him. And then all of a sudden, I see the hands up. My, what a joyful noise you hear around. That's him. Every eye is on the ambassador of the United States. That's him. Now they look at him. They have him sized right from the very head to the foot. That's the kind of hat they wear over in America. Then they look at his clothes. That's the way they dress in America. Then they look at the shoes and say, that's the kind of shoes they wear over there in Yankee Land. I know what I'm talking about. I was over there in 56, and a man stopped me in Belfast and says, you're an American. I said, yeah. I said, how did you know? I knew by the hat. I knew by the attire. I knew by your speech, although I've still got the Irish brogue. My speech, my friend, betrays me. The ambassador, my friend, is none in so many ways. He's none by his looks. He's none by his appearance. He's none by his actions. And he's none, my friend, in every way you may take him. But he's a very helpless person. A very helpless person. An ambassador, I say, is just as helpless could be. I know something about it even since coming to Iowa this time. You know, once in a while I would like to get out the old Irish and say something. You wouldn't, of course. You've got the old man dead. Some tell me they've got rid of the old man, but I haven't got rid of the old man yet. But when an ambassador, when they talk back to him, and when they strike him in the face, he has got nothing to say. He speaks. He can't strike back. He can't talk back. But he's in constant touch with the head. And he does like Joseph. He brings all the affairs to the father. Oh, he don't carry them to every neighbor around him. No, no, no. He don't take it over to this home and over to that home. He brings all the evil reports to the father. He's in constant touch with the head. And then the country that he represents, the head of that country will deal with those people that have abused their ambassador. So that's true with us. There are a lot of things that we can't do. There's a lot of things maybe we'd like to do that we can't do. But we're in constant touch with him, and we need to bring these petitions and these things to him and let him deal with it. But then getting down to what I want to get down to is this. I find as I move around from place to place and preach the gospel, I'm not a platform preacher like some. I can't go into the ward and exposit like our brother Joe here or some of the men that hear. My business is to preach the gospel. To see souls there. But as I move around, I find out that there's two kinds of ambassadors. I find out also in the Old Testament there were two kinds of ambassadors. I find out also in the New Testament there were two kinds of ambassadors. I find out there was real ambassadors. And there was bad ambassadors. There was good ambassadors and there was poor ambassadors. There was false ambassadors as well as good ambassadors. Now you take the ninth chapter even of the book of Joshua. And when you come into chapter 9 of the book of Joshua, what do you find? We find there Joshua, men knew Joshua was a good man. Joshua was one that wholly followed the law. Joshua was one, my friend, that kept in perfect touch with God. He was a true ambassador. And that the Lord could trust him with these truths that we have been hearing about this morning already. But he was a given it. And they come along and they says to Joshua, well, we are ambassadors just the same as you are ambassadors. And they made a league with Joshua. And Joshua made a league with them. But it didn't take long to find out that those people, the Gibeonites, were not ambassadors at all. They were false ambassadors. And we're living in a day when we see the very same thing before our eyes. We have good ambassadors and we have poor ambassadors. I will start for a moment or two in the Old Testament. And we will go along as the Lord permits time. First of all, you take the record of that man that we see, Joseph. Now I believe that Joseph was just an ordinary person like you or I. He was saved about the age of 17. And I find out that Joseph was one that God could trust. He was trustworthy in every way. He was truthful. He was humble. And he was one, my friends, that God could commit these truths to. Now you take a look of this man, Joseph. You can see just as he starts out. First of all, he's a true ambassador in the home. That's where testimony starts, in the home. If you can't testify for God in the home, you've got no right or place going to a foreign missionary field. He says, go to thy home and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. And Joseph, my friend, he started right in the home. Then we find that the father sent him to see how his brethren fed. And you know, he was loved of the father. And here as he went to see how his brethren fed, he was persecuted. He was despised. He was rejected. He was cast down. And they said, away with that man. And he was sold. But then he was cast into an old empty prison. And you can see him in the prison. Oh, you can look at that Joseph. It made no difference whether he was in the home, whether he was in the field or the world, or whether he was in the prison. He was just the same Joseph. Down in the prison, we find that he comes down in the morning. His face is beaming. And he sees two prisoners there on their staff, just the opposite thing. They didn't have any savior to help them in an hour of trouble. And he says to those two men, why are you sad? And you remember he brought blessing to one, and he brought grief to the other. One was delivered, and the other was condemned to death. A picture of Christ on the cross. But that man, Joseph, in the prison, his face did shine just the same as it did shine in the home. Then he was taken out of the prison, and he was made prime minister over the land of Egypt. You can see the same Joseph. This one that was humble. This one that was trustworthy. This one that was truthful. This man is a true ambassador. Right on the very throne. Right there, reigning over Egypt. Everything is committed into his hands, and he's just the same Joseph. He's not got the big head. Now you can see some of the ambassadors that we have today. And if things don't go their way, why, they get in the hut. And they won't come to me. And you're going to see them, well, such and such a one didn't treat me right. I was there and nobody spoke to me. Well, why didn't you speak to them? But Joseph was in that time. There was no dead flies in Joseph's life. I believe he's one of the two that's mentioned in the Bible that there's no recorded sin again. Oh, they tried to tell me, Brother Tom, you haven't read the story right. When he asked to be delivered from the prison. Yes, and the Lord Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, not my will, but thy will be done. But he says, Lord, if it pleases thee to remove this cup from me. And you wouldn't call that a mistake, my friend. I want you to remind you that Joseph was true to his master, and he was a true ambassador. There was no hypocrisy with Joseph. You take the other one that's just about the same as Joseph, and his name is Daniel. Daniel, my friend, was living in a time similar to you and I. You say, well, I can't be much of an ambassador these days. I can't serve my Lord these days. We're living in dark days. Yes, we are living in dark days. And we're living in darker days than the other was before. I was listening to the news commentary last night. And I heard one thing that were just one list from war. 150,000 reserves must be called up. How soon, we don't know. We're living, my friends, in the darkest days of the dispensation of grace. We're living, I say, just not in the days before his coming, but in the hours before his coming, when the clouds are gathering over our heads. And they're getting darker and blacker and blacker all the time. They're not clearing. Judgment is hanging over this old world. And it's time for you and I, as children of God, to wake up. Don't be like those disciples when they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. We read that when they awoke, the sky flowed. Ah, thank God, one day we're going to awaken His likeness and we're going to see His glory. And it may be before the conference is over too. And I notice as I go into Daniel, Daniel was one of those men that was a true ambassador. He was clueless to his character. Although taken down to Babylon, and there he was, in captivity, he wasn't going to be like the Babylonians. No, 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 no. But he was clueless. He wasn't going to meddle with the king's meat or the king's wine either, the old Babylonian stuff. But ambassadors have got no business meddling with that stuff. That's all it is, it's stuff. He wouldn't meddle with that. He was pure as to his character. He was cautious as to his diet. And he had a purpose of heart. My business is to represent a living God. I wonder that you have a purpose of heart. He, like Joseph, was a humble man. He, like Joseph, was a truthful man. When trouble came along, and the king was in trouble because of his forgotten dream, and the men were about to be put to death, Daniel was just the same Daniel. He said, give us time to pray over this thing. Give us time to pray over this thing. And he's got these three friends to gather me get down to pray. And he says, Lord, reveal this secret to us. And the Lord heard them and answered. And you know what happened? My, I can see those four men, the three Hebrew children and Daniel on their knees. They were two ambassadors and they began to pray. Heaven was open. And when heaven was open, let me say this. I can see Daniel rise up. Oh, praise God, we've got the answer. 60 years later, the same thing happened. And Daniel says, well, my habit has been all these years of going 3 times a day into the presence of God, and I'm not going to change now. If they catch me on my knees, well and good. And he went in with his windows open. He said, I'll leave them open. I'm not going to shut them up and stay behind blinds or shut doors. I'm going to leave the windows open. And if the enemy wants to catch me praying, why let them catch me? It's not such a sin to be caught on your knees praying. Now you'd almost think it was a crime to see the way people close the windows and the doors. And they're afraid of somebody coming to the door and catching them praying. Daniel didn't care. He didn't care. He said, they can come in and get, and they come in and go. And they took him over and they put him into a den filled with hungry lions waiting for the bright. And the den of lions just poured around him and he had a good night's sleep and the king had a bad night. But the man who was out of disobedience and fellowship with God, it only took one lion to take care of him. Daniel was a true ambassador. There are true and false ambassadors today. Stephen was another one. I wonder what you are. I wonder what I am. I wonder if people really and truly know who we are and who we serve. Now, as I said already, a true ambassador has got no fellowship with the world. That has been the downfall of many of our ambassadors today. And we reap for this cause many are weak and sickly among us and many. And I'm not going to go into that side of it because time does not permit. But I want to remind you that we're living in a day when the unequally yoked is hardly ever met. We're living in a day when the inspiration of the Bible is at stake. I have my wife in Michigan and two of my girls. Maybe I shouldn't tell this. And I went into a place and there was more people there than there was there. It was one of our gospel halls. Gospel chapels, you want. One of them. I believe there's over 300 people there. And there was a very prominent man from the city of Wheaton. That's outside of Chicago. I go there myself. And he was from the Wheaton School, or Wheaton College. And he got up on the platform. In one of our Bible halls, up on the platform. And he got up there, and he gave us a little warning. He says, you know, that science is just the same as the Word of God. You can learn the truth from science if you've never seen a Bible. That may be true. Then he went in to tell me that God, or tell the people, that God was just like us. And it took him billions of years to make the earth. And my wife was holding it by the tail of the coat. She was afraid of something happening. I said, let go. And I stood up. And she was pulling me down. You know what a wife is. I says, brother, could I say something? I says, my God not only made the earth on nothing, but he hung it on nothing. And he said, let it be so, and it was so. He said, it took him billions of years to do it. I says, no. He said, let there be light. And there was light, he did that. He says, those days were thousands of years. I says, no, the evening and the morning were the first day. And I didn't get down to 12 men stood up. 12 of them. Said, brother, you're off. And then a woman stood up, and leave it to the women, my friends. One of our extra preachers. And a woman got up and said, come down from the platform. You're taking away the truth that's so dear to us. And dear to the heart of God. And then they looked at me and says, what are we going to do? I said, let us pray. We've got the man off in 10 minutes. We have got to hold the truth of God, my friend. And we need to be on our knees these days. And we need to watch around us at what's going on. Now, I'm not going to get started on that because I'll tell you quick. But I've enjoyed coming here this morning. I didn't expect to preach. The brethren know that. And I'm just getting sort of warmed up. But I really enjoy being here. Many of your faces I've known for years. Many of you I've seen many years ago, even before you were saved. It's a real joy to be back here. And I do trust you'll have a real good conference. Let us go in for putting these things in practice. And let us go in for true ambassadors, representing not only the Master, but a heavenly company. We're not going to be here much longer. His coming is very near. May the Lord bless his word.